I'd like to ask you, if you would, to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Do you see that ugly little blotch on the screen? You should know what it's there for by now. You can zoom in on that with your phone and click the link that appears, and a Bible app event should show up for that. The Bible app, of course, is brought to you by YouVersion, and it's free for churches. They have been such a blessing to the kingdom, and I would encourage you to take advantage of that if you can. Okay. If you can't get the thing, just open the YouVersion Bible app, and you can click on an event near you, and ours will show up for you. Zaka, you need to tell Grandpa thank you. Say thank you to Grandpa, Zaka. Musa, say thank you to Grandma. Tell her thank you. Joybird, are you going to say thank you?
Oh, I'm not here.
Lydia, say thank you. Those are my grandchildren. My children are teaching their children to say thank you because it's polite when they say thank you and it's embarrassing when they don't. And on top of that, it is an expression of appreciation for something good that has happened in your life. Several years ago, and I'm pretty sure it was at the Indiana State Fair just outside of Indianapolis, we had parked our car. We're coming into the fairground. I needed directions to something. And there was someone who worked there. I don't know if he was a parking attendant or what he was. And I looked at him and I said, where's what? I don't even remember what I wanted. Where's this thing? And he said, just go over here, turn right, go over there, go that way. And I just said, I didn't say a word. I just went to it. And 3 minutes later, I realized I didn't even say thank you to that guy. What kind of guy am I, you know? And so we saw the fair, kind of cruised through, and later in the day, I kind of circled back around intentionally to where he was, and sure enough, he was still there. I walked up to him. I said, do you remember me? He said, yeah. I said, I didn't say thank you to you, so I came back to say thank you. And he laughed out loud, and he said, you're welcome, you know. But thank you. It's something that is important, and it's something that's easily forgotten sometimes. But you know, it's not just those two words, thank you. It's really a sense of gratitude in your heart that's important to have for the good things that exist in your life. And I believe that's part of what the Apostle Paul wants us to understand from this passage in Colossians chapter 3. So we're going to read chapter 3, verse 15, all the way to chapter 4, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along silently as I read. Otherwise, you can simply listen as I read. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they'll become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for God. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there's no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Wow, are those controversial words or what in today's society? That's a controversial passage. Husbands and wives, slaves and masters. What I want to do is try to distill from that passage what Paul wants us to understand and how it can help us in our life. And when I think about this passage, I see that it actually begins with what I'm going to call three desirable instructions. Is that an awkward phrase or what? Who says that? Three desirable instructions. It's really the best I got. I couldn't think of another header for this particular slide. Desirable. By that I mean this is something we want anyway, and it's an instruction. It's something God is telling us to do, something he's commanding, wanting us to follow. It's something he wants me to do, and it's something I desire to do. And there's three of them. The first one's in verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Wow. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Who doesn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? I mean, who doesn't want the peace of Christ in their heart? Think about something that might be the opposite of that, would be the turmoil of the enemy, right? Let the turmoil of Satan rule in your heart. No, we don't want that. I want peace in my heart. I want that to be on the throne of my heart, Christ's peace. I think all of us do. But even though this desire is what we would think of as universal, everybody wants it, the experience can at times be elusive. It can be. How was your trip to church this morning? Not the actual drive to church, but getting everybody in the car at the right time so you could get in here. You know, somebody in the early service said to me, you would not believe the problem we had. Would you get your car out? We need to get going. We're going to be late for church. I said, was the peace of Christ ruling in your heart? And they laughed. They said, no, when you were saying that in a sermon, we thought, yeah. Yeah, the peace of Christ doesn't always rule in our heart. This week, Drew, you were at some meetings in Pittsburgh. The week before, I was at some meetings in Spokane, Washington. Those meetings, they're always marked by the peace of Christ, aren't they? How about the meetings at work? Is the peace of Christ ruling there? Or are you sitting there with your mug that says, another meeting that could have been handled by an email, you know? Right? The peace of Christ, I want it to rule in my heart. It doesn't always rule in my heart. Does it always rule in your heart? And if it doesn't, if you don't have the peace of Christ ruling in your heart, what can you do about that? It's an instruction to follow. It's a desirable one, but sometimes we don't know how to follow it. There's a second desire. In verse 16, it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you. That might not be quite as desirable at first glance as the peace of Christ, but well, listen to it. It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Yeah, I do kind of want that. I kind of want that. I want to be involved in a fellowship with other believers where they have wisdom and it helps me live my life better. And I have wisdom and I can help them. And a fellowship where someone can teach me and I'm understanding God's word and I get to teach someone else. And a fellowship where we're singing songs, like psalms from the Spirit, songs from the Spirit of God himself. Yeah. I want that. I'm not sure I always get it, and I don't think it's necessarily the fault of the people around me. I think it might be my fault. I desire it. I don't always get it. The message of Christ dwelling in me richly. The gospel dwelling among us as we share together. You know, if you're a Christ follower, if you're someone who has found your forgiveness in Jesus and you are living for him, then sharing in his word with others, that is a blessed thing. It's a good thing. And I need to hear that. I need to hear about God's grace over and over again because I keep forgetting it. And I want to share that with other people, that God loves them. And I want to try to be Christ-like. Indeed, this is a desirable instruction. But sometimes it doesn't happen in my life. How do I get applicable teaching and put it on my heart? How do I gain knowledge and live it out? And how do I really sing to God and not just go through the motions? It's an instruction. Let the message of Christ dwell among you. But sometimes we aren't really sure how to get it. There's a third instruction found in the very next verse, verse 17. It says, let the supremacy of Christ oversee all you do. Christ overseeing everything I do. That sounds like a good thing. Can you oversee this? You know, when you're working on a really hard project, you want someone sometime to come in and say, yeah, you're doing that right. Do this a little better. You kind of want that involvement of someone like that. That's kind of what I'm seeing spoken of in verse 17. Try to follow me logically here. It says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here's what that looks like. In every decision that you make, in every task that you do, in every conversation that you have, in every story that you tell, you ask yourself, am I doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And some of those stories you won't tell them if you ask yourself that question, right? And when you do things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're actually acknowledging his power, his influence, his authority, his supremacy in what you're doing. And that kind of makes mundane tasks become more significant. For example, if you're making dinner for some ungrateful people, and you're doing it to honor God, I'm doing this in the name of Christ, suddenly it becomes meaningful. Or if your boss happens to be a real jerk, you know, and you're trying to do what you do and struggling and to do it because of him, if you just say, I'm not doing this because of him, I'm doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then ultimately as you're working for God, your work becomes meaningful and significant. Doing all for God's glory. It changes everything about the way you live. This is a desirable instruction, and it's good to feel that you're making a difference for eternity, but it's kind of hard to do that, and it kind of eludes us sometimes. I mean, it's hard to remember that what you're doing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when what you're doing is cleaning the bathroom. It's hard to apply, do it in the name of God when you're grading papers for students that really didn't care to be writing them to begin with, again and again. It's hard to feel that you've cooked this meal in the name of God when you're calling people to supper and they say, let me finish this level, let me finish this level, let me finish this level in their video game. Now, it's kind of weird. If you really think about it, it's kind of weird. Here's these desirable things that we want, and yet we struggle to receive them. These are instructions that we would like to implement in our life, but we don't. What's missing? Maybe what's missing is thankfulness and gratitude. Maybe that key ingredient to much of life, if not all of life, is a thankful heart. Maybe that's why your parents taught you to say, tell grandma thank you. Maybe somewhere behind all that was a sense that you really cannot have peace in your life if you don't have a thankful heart. You really can't grasp the message of Christ unless you have a thankful heart. You really can't appreciate doing things in the name of God unless you have a thankful heart that you can do them in the name of God. This passage actually kind of reminds me that the peace of Christ rules in your heart when you are thankful. When you are thankful. It was right there in verse 13 when we read it. I'll put it on the screen. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And look at the bottom line on that screen. And be thankful. Choose to be thankful. You know, if all I do is complain about this and that and the other thing, the peace of Christ will not rule in our heart. Someone in the garage sale yesterday complained about this, they complained about the weather, they complained about the other thing. They walked away and I thought, they'll never have the peace of God until they choose to be thankful. Thankful. When you choose to be thankful for the blessings you have received, you're actually inviting the peace of Christ to come and take its rightful place on the throne of your heart. It is ruling in your life. When you choose to be thankful for your church family, you invite the peace of God to rule in your heart. When you choose to be thankful for your workplace, you invite the peace of God. When you choose to be thankful for your family, you're inviting the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. Thankfulness is a key ingredient to having the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And the text goes on to tell us that the message of Christ dwells in our midst among us when we're thankful. It's right there in verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God. And then there's that bottom line again. Do you see it on the screen? With gratitude, that's thankfulness, in your hearts. Thankfulness. The message of Christ, that's the gospel of Christ, the joy of knowing that God loves you and has offered to forgive your sins. And when you've received his love and trusted his grace and have your sins forgiven, there's joy that flows from that. When you have that joy, when you have that freedom from your sin and shame, it creates an atmosphere that's really quite hard to describe. When you're thankful that your shame is gone, it makes you the kind of person that's good to be around. And when you're humbled that God gave his son for you, for me, who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name? Who am I? And when you grasp that humility in thankfulness, you become a cool glass of water offered in a desert of turmoil and pain and heat. When you're joyful that God's given you a new start, that joy becomes contagious. When you live with gratitude in your heart, the message of Christ, the joy that comes from him, it dwells among you. Thankfulness, it is really the key ingredient. And the text goes on to talk about doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, when you do that, the supremacy of God reigns in your life. It's in verse 17. It's on the screen. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. How crazy is that? Have you noticed this? This is the third time in a row that God says, here's a blessing, here's a blessing, here's a blessing. And the last words of that portion of that verse is, be thankful. Give thanks, in this case, to God the Father through him. Thankfulness. It's a key that evidently might have been missing in the lives of the Colossians. Whatever you do, do it as unto Jesus, because he's supreme. And that happens automatically when you begin to give thanks. So, you know, the rest of this passage, it has a little bit of conflict in it. A little bit of controversy, I should say, in it. Controversy regarding husbands and wives. We've talked about that before. Husbands and wives are called to mutual submission, according to Ephesians 5. And by the way, the husband, he's called to die. It has slaves and masters here. That's controversy. We've talked about that before. And there are individuals who say, and you hear it from time to time, well, you know, the Bible, it advocates slavery. Slaves, obey your masters. We just read it, right? The Bible doesn't advocate slavery. That's not what's being said here. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, we read it in Sunday school this morning. It's long around verse 10. It categorizes slave traders with murderers. With murderers. God hates slavery more than you and I could hate slavery. And so the Bible isn't condoning those kind of things. And we've talked about them before. I'm not going to revisit them, but I do want to make this suggestion. I want to suggest to you that the comments here in the text about husbands and wives, about fathers and children, about slaves and masters, tell you that this key ingredient, thankfulness, is appropriate in every aspect of your life. Whether your life is one that others would envy or one of great hardship, thankfulness to God and his grace is a key to living well in the midst of all that. That's why that's in there, to say, no matter what your life is like, if you want to live well, be thankful. Thankfulness is appropriate for a husband or a wife. Be thankful, and your spouse will be blessed. Because you are. Thankfulness is appropriate whether you're the father or the child. Because a thankful child is a real joy. And a thankful father is more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Thankfulness is appropriate whether you're the employee or the employer. It's appropriate always for the created, you and me, to give thanks to the Creator. It's always appropriate. And the best way that we can have this is to cultivate it in our everyday life, in every area of our everyday life. For example, in your church life, thankfulness enriches your worship experience. Have you ever talked to, I know you have, someone who has lost their thankfulness for their church? I always feel great grief for them and sorrow and pity for them. Maybe they're cross with their pastor. Maybe they're angry about the music. Maybe they're displeased with some of the people. Maybe the air conditioner is too high or not high enough. you can be pretty sure that when they lose that thankfulness for their church, that they really lose the enrichment that the worship provides. You can be pretty sure the message of Christ is not dwelling among them, and the peace of Christ is not ruling in their heart. So find things to be thankful for. When you're thankful for things like your church family, despite its dents and its dings, the message of Christ brings joy to your heart. Thankfulness enriches your worship experience. Likewise, thankfulness brings grace to your family, your home life. You ever feel a bit disconnected from your family, your spouse, your mate? May I suggest that choosing thankfulness will work to resolve that issue. Thankfulness moves a husband when he decides, guys, when you decide to, despite any dents or any scratches that you might see, when you decide to honor your wife and love her and value her and be thankful for her and lay down your life for her, because that is what you're called to do in these passages, your preferences, your selfishness set aside, and make her the priority in your life. That thankfulness, it changes everything about your marriage. And the same way, on the other end, when a wife looks at her husband and says, he's a real jerk, but I'm thankful for him. Did you hear how quickly I just was able to say that? Not that I've ever heard anyone say that. I'll just take a moment. Laurel's watching online. She's not cooking, though. People are bringing us food, so I'm safe. I'll just take a moment to say, I can't tell you how many times my wife has looked at me with such love in her eyes. And she'll kind of take me by the collar, you know, like she grabs me here and here. And she'll look up at me and she'll say, you mean well. And I'm so thankful for that. That choice to be thankful, that makes our marriage glow. It makes our relationship work. Thankfulness brings grace to your home life. In fact, thankfulness influences every imaginable interaction that you might have. Faith, family, your place in life, your job, your educational pursuit, your recreation, your vacation, the difficulties you're having with your finances, the blessing you're getting with your finances. All of those things are enhanced and made good and made beautiful when you choose thankfulness. Thankfulness. At the start of this message, I had that awkward phrase at the title of that early slide, three desirable instructions in the passage. They are desirable. And they are instructions, maybe even commands. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I desire that. Don't you? Let the message of Christ dwell among you. The joy of forgiveness, the joy of the gospel dwelling among us here at church, at your home, in your workplace. Wow, that would be a good thing. Let the supremacy of Christ oversee all you do. So everything you do in the name of Christ, acknowledging he is the authority, that he is sovereign, that this is for him. That's a good thing. I want it. I don't always have it. I wonder if it's because I don't give thankfulness its proper place in my life. I want to pray that you and I would be men and women of gratitude, boys and girls of thankfulness, so that these instructions, these desirable instructions, would belong to us and we would live them out. If you're comfortable doing so, let's stand together. So I want you to think for a moment. The peace of Christ, is it ruling in your heart? Is it there in your heart? about the fellowship of Christ among you in relationship to other people, from your church family to your family to whatever? Is that how your fellowship is characterized? What about the mundane things you do? Are you doing them to the glory of God? Are you thankful in that? I really think that some of the things we struggle with in our life tend to be symptoms of deeper problems. And the deeper problem could be just that I forgot to be thankful. I was really in a hurry to get out of my car and go see the Indiana State Fair, and I forgot to be thankful. I want to pray first. I just want us to say, thank you, Jesus. And then I want us to say, make us men and women who are thankful. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we should be thankful all the time. Give thanks in everything you say in your word. Petition the Lord with thanksgiving. For crying out loud, in three verses you told us, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. Forgive us for forgetting to say thankful, thank you. But the problem isn't just that we forgot to say the words. The problem is we've allowed other things to kind of crowd thankfulness out of our heart. Injustice, pain, frustration, busy schedules, bad relationships, toxic people. We let them fill our hearts to the point that there's not a lot of room for the peace of Christ to roll there. Forgive us for that, because we want hearts that are thankful. We thank you for all the good things you give us, for creating humankind alone to bear the image of God in all the cosmos. Thank you for speaking to us through your word, giving us guidance, showing us how to live, showing us the difference between light and darkness. We are thankful, oh God, for sending your one and only Son, that whoever would trust in him would not perish, but have eternal life. We are so thankful for forgiving us for sin, for giving us release from shame, for taking your righteousness, Lord Jesus, and crediting it to our account. We are thankful. We are thankful for giving us your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to dwell inside our hearts. We are thankful for giving us his guidance daily, every day, to light our path, to mark our way. We are thankful for giving us the hope of eternal life, so that whether a 98-year-old person or a 28-year-old person leaves this earth, as they trust in Christ, we know we will see them again. Oh God, we are thankful. For the hope of heaven, we are thankful. Make us thankful people in all our life. For the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.